Blog Talk Radio.
Well, normally here we would have the theme and we would be talking about Shout Even Shy and Hatter's lyrics, but today is a little bit different. We've got a special program for Alf Collier, and I've got Deb and Hatter along for the ride with me. I'm AP Taylor, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio, and we're a poetry group that you can find on allpoetry.com. And if you want to create an account, just get onto the site and go and knock on the door. It's free to join. And as a group, a team of voices, we've got a series of members all around the world. And earlier this year, we learnt from one of those members, Alf Collier, that they were facing up to the end of their life, and they shared with us quite openly that they only expected to be able to communicate for a few more weeks before that they'd lose that ability. Right back now, in about April or May. Alf was one of those Australians on All Poetry that I immediately looked up to. A very talented writer, a rhymer like myself, but with brilliant descriptions and fantastic thoughts that were interwoven within the rhyme. And you could tell he was fantastic at what they did, because Alf had over 800 competition wins on All Poetry and over 200 front page picks in the time that they were on the site. Now, to me, having done a little bit of research, that would place Alf in the top 10 poets on site in terms of competition wins and front page picks, and I see those two things as being the best indicators of a person's ability and talent. And I think they were an incredibly talented writer and a genuine person. So we'd already planned a show for Alf, as Deb has done for every radio participant of our group to celebrate their writing. So we went ahead with the show, and we know that Alf was very touched and moved in listening to that program. We then didn't hear anything for more than nearly 6 months, and we'd got some ideas about where they lived and their identity, and kept up the emails while watching the web for information. Sadly, a few weeks ago, I saw an obituary and watched a service for Alf, who'd passed at the age of 93. Alf had 5 children, was in nursing, and a very loving and caring person. A poem was read, and it was clear we were talking about the same person from her grandchild. Her images were displayed at the funeral, and we'll play an outro song that was played at the funeral at the end. So, look, it's very easy to mourn the passing of such a wonderful person, but we'd like to instead celebrate what a wonderful poet and human being that was Alf Collier. And to do that, we're going to replay now that show that they loved from earlier this year, and then I'll return with some final words before closing. So, talk very soon.
Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still love. of your time. I cannot stay, cause I want to. Are you telling me? You Cannot Say, written by the poet Jay Hatter, and the singer and the writer of the music is Shout Even Shy, a little ditty that we've all become accustomed to hearing at the beginning of the shows. And this is Deborah Lee. You're listening to A Team of Voices Radio, sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, and we're here tonight to feature some of the lines from the poetry of the poet Alf Collier, paired up with some of the art by the artist Cindy Grunston, between the amazing quotes and the art, there should be some spectacular poetry, but there always is. I'm dealing with some stuff, so I'm just going to put my poem on the board, and I'm going to read it for Alf, and then I'm going to turn my mic over to A.P. Taylor, and he's going to make sure that all the amazing poems are done tonight. In the meantime, I also want to shout out a happy birthday to Sweet Pea. And as I said, I'm just going to throw this on the board. I'm going to read, and I'm going to go with my apologies that I can't hang out with you tonight, but I'll be back as soon as I can. And the poem is on the board, if you want to click on that. And what I did was I took the amazing quotes that were chosen for his prompts, and I took them all, and I turned them over to turn them into a collaboration called Conversations and Whispered Wishes on Stars. And here we go. As the sun lazes on the horizon, lending its lethargy to the advance of twilight, we sat chatting as the sun colored the sky, then it set. And as the sky filled with glittering neon starlight, we read a poem that contained the lines, "Eddies catch diamond facades midst the pastel clouds, painted in twilight's parade. With me sipping coffee, cream and sugar, and him drinking black tea, no milk. He shares sobering news with me, then reads the stanza. My watchtower observes the many moods of sky, sometimes clad in tangerine negligees, and sometimes wearing gray mantillas of clouds as I hold vigil with the changing faces of the moon, wearing a coronet of falling stars.
Now my eyes see the falling stars, and he grins as my eyelids squeeze, whispering on all the stars that fall. He sat watching shadows of the outside world, and just to see them dance over the view, my eyes followed the shadow trails too. In his soft-toned voice, he told me that footprints follow a one-way alley, trading places with the steel shadows of yesteryears and hand-me-down cobblestones. And in this world, filled with replaceable things, those hand-me-down cobblestones grew irreplaceable and new to the paved streets they now line. Off to the side, we see the beach with salted waves wiping the sand, cleaning traces from the day. And he sighed, turned to me and said, "When I look back, my footprints are erased from midnight scene. And with them gone, it's just as if the stroll has never been." But I whispered to him that the sea cannot wash away him or his poetry, and that the people see him in the lines that he writes. Winds whistle, blending with the splashed crashes from the faulty tide. Speaking again, he says, "I walked in a vacuum of silence, not knowing where I was in a familiar place," shaking his bowed head. Ache is louder than his voice. Mouthing frostbitten words hang in tempered icicles of regret. Then on that porch, as our eyes stared, a masked owl hooted from the eucalyptus tree branch, and I whispered that apologies can thaw those frostbitten words. Thumbing through the pages of his journal, he grabs his pen and then reads out loud, reciting the line he jots down. "We used tinted thoughts to paint a montage of mementos." The night ends with me commenting on the power in the line and a hug spawning his smile. Then I head home as the cashmere clouds drift, closing the curtains on night's misted mountain. And blackbirds chaperone me under that sky as I pray to chat again tomorrow. Goes on my footprints, footsteps play solitaire on the sigh of a breeze. And poem. And thank you, Alf. And again, happy birthday, my sweet. And AP, thank you so much. I gotta go.
Okay, see you later, Deb. Be good. Okay, I'm just gonna bring a couple of people on here. Hello, 440. How are you?
Good, how are you, AP?
I am very, very well. How are you, Steve?
I'm all right. A little on the tired side, but managing.
I can tell that. I'm just going to bring a couple of people on, then we'll get your poem and Kay's poem on the board. Hello, 720. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
Ah, that would be the birthday person. I'm very well. How are you, birthday?
Yeah. I'm good.
Excellent. Have you looked at the board? We've all been putting birthday stuff on the board for you.
I have. Thank you very much, everyone.
You know, wishes and fireworks and edible Australian shepherds. You name it, it's all there. Hello, 270.
270. That's me.
That's one.
That's you. You should have just said hi. That would have been good. Anyway, we're all good.
Well, hi.
Okay. That's it. Thank you. Much better. Okay. Even with the Australian accent. Now we're getting somewhere. Okay. I'm going to go to the board, and I think firstly I'm going to grab Kay's poem, Stephen. Is that fair?
Yeah. Sure thing.
Yes. And
yeah.
I think you read Kay's poem and you were going to read yours. Is that right?
Yeah, because Kay's also, you know, not feeling very well. So
yeah, well, seems to be the night for it, unfortunately. But anyway, let's go and put Kay's poem on the board, if it lets me, because of course it's not at the minute because it's decided to play you know, funny buggers, as it does these times. So let's try again. Oh, it does. You know, you take on something and everybody sort of, you know, away we go. And I should say, before you start reading, that Deb didn't want to have comments on her poem, but I wanted to say a few words anyway. And that was, that I thought that was a brilliant way to incorporate all those quotes that you did, Deb. And I know you're not feeling at all well and at all like yourself, so that makes it even tougher. But you really gave quite a beautiful visual scene of you being there with Alf, so thank you for doing that. And Stephen, I've got Kay's poem on the board now.
Indeed. And I'll have to agree with you on that too, AP, that it was a wonderful collaboration of sorts. Very well done, Deb. And this, let's see, Kay chose quote number 11 from Alf, and it's footprints follow a one-way alley, trading places with the steel shadows of yesteryears and hand-me-down cobblestones. And this is Yesterday's Solitaires of Echoes, Twilighting Harbors Lost by Kay. Gray shadows lacing a ruffled hem and scents of white, wintry spirit tinseling colored paper sensitive, the child in days of lantern montage, stenciled in solace. Snow globe, a wardrobe celestial burrows aglow, as silvery champagne sugars the air, freckled, glittery in talc powdered glints, whispers in its sovereign of temperance twixt shadows of hardwood's footprints. End poem.
Well, that is only a short piece, Stephen. That is only a short piece, but it does give a very beautiful sense of that image there of that child with the lantern. And I love silvery champagne sugars the air. I don't know why. I just do. I think that it's a beautiful description of the snow and the ice and movement. So I am going to go across to Sweet to get a comment, please.
First off, I don't know, had to get off mute. I have dogs. I really, the imagery was stunning. It's almost like being wrapped in the beauty of innocence and purity. The snow globe and the wardrobe, the celestial, all the words that she uses. And I also love these silvery champagne sugars. I just felt so warm in such a cold kind of snowy scenery. But she just wraps you in this, like I said, this innocence of warmth. And I thought it was just beautiful imagery, and her language always is stunning.
Thank you, Sweet. And I now have another caller. Hello, 503. How are you?
Hello?
Hello.
AP. Hey, this is Dave Prophet.
Dave, good to have you back. How are you?
Not bad, Dave. Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. My ankles bother me a little. I can't hang around very long on the phone. I would appreciate it if I could read earlier and
I've got Kay and then Stephen and then you. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Righto. Now I'm just going to get Wayne to comment on Kay's poem, and then I'm going to drop back to Stephen to get him to read his poem. What did you think?
I thought this was a nice little brevity that Kay did. It's a wonderful read, Stephen. You did a good job. I like the way it started out. It said, gray shadows lace have ruffled him in sensitive white. It's a lovely way to start the poem out. This whole poem is still full of a kind of a sweet kindness. She's real, real delicate in this poem, and did a good job. I like it a lot. Good job.
Perfect. Thank you, Wayne. And so, Stephen, I'm now wandering back to you as I have put your poem up on the board.
All right.
If you're wondering what that is in the back, it is not Close Encounters of the Third Kind, although the tones are not this. It is a vacuum dressing pump, and it is telling me that it is not properly sealed at the minute, And so what I am doing is simultaneously is putting more masking tape on my bloody foot to stop it from alarming. So bear with me as I attempt to fix this thing once and for all this time. But meantime, Stephen, if you could read, and hopefully we won't hear too much more of my Close Encounters friend.
Right. yeah, okay. I use the quote, the first quote, he sat watching shadows of the outside world. And I call this a fungus of frailty, faculty for friends. Of frailty's indecision, tottering tips down bare the keys, thunder wells behind the eyes as glaring anger frees. Cockroach value hewed into twigs that fall from trees. Terror reaches to the spine and pinches wobbling knees. Hair that peaks beneath the bowl and freckles frame the sneeze. Whines and weeps are choked behind trembling lips and pleas. Deception lies in belly's muck of mushroom gills and rotten pears, erupting through esophagus within acid reflux flares. Chewing up enamel while bile leaves burning tongue impaired, vomit sloshes through the guts, chopping roots of every hair. Upon the line of voiceless masks that fill the empty air, the sun does shine atop the storm that curls and tails despair. End poem.
Image. You must have gone early to get that one, Stephen. I liked particularly. The tail curling, which I thought was very cute at the end, and I particularly liked the rhyming of sneeze and please for some reason, and I can't give you a good reason why, but I really did. I am going to head to Wayne for a comment. Wayne, what did you think?
I think it's a very complex poem. It's got a lot of fantastic descriptions with lots of imagination. I like the line. It says, the cockroach values huge and hit twigs that fall from the trees. Every one of the lines I have hard trouble reading because you have them so stacked so perfectly. But it's great. Every line in this is wonderful, and you did a great job with this. Lots of imagination, lots of details. Love it. Wish I could write something like that.
Thank you, Mr. Sweet Pea, did you want to say a few words?
Well, I think the monorhyme is amazing. Just to start there, because I always have a really hard time with monorhyme, and I think that's pretty awesome. And I love the cadence in it. But, oh, my God, let's talk about the darkness. The darkness in here is just stunning. And I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with the anxiety of real life, just being in that place where you need to go do something and you just, like, that bile wells up and, you know, you don't want to do it. And you don't, it's like almost like public speaking, how somebody might feel when they have to go up and talk and public speak. And it just kind of made me, you know, feel like, oh my God, I don't want to go do this. I don't want to go do this. And you just have that anxiety build up in you. And I thought that was like just tremendously descriptive of, you know, what somebody might feel or there's something they've got to do. So I thought it was really a great poem. And hauntingly descriptive of something that may make you feel that way, regardless of what it might be. So outstanding.
That's sweet.
Sweet. And I'm going to go to Mr. Prophet. And before I do, though, Stephen, did you want to talk about shows coming up? Because I know you're A, tired, and B, you've already done a show. So have you got some shows coming up on Poetic Slice you want to talk about before Dave does his comment, because we might let you go?
We only have a couple more shows this week. Wednesday we have the Poetic Inklings of Tomorrow. It is our visit with our Artist of the Year, Lisa Asato. Kay found about a dozen more paintings from her that are just amazing and more winter-themed again. It's January.
Yep.
That's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. And then Saturday is Storyboards with Sky Darkholm, and it is a triple feature. She's going to feature all three of the RoboCop movies for character rights, quote rights, scene rights, movie rights. Geek Out with Sky, 8 p.m. Saturday night. And that's all we got this week.
Thank you, Stephen. And for your last comment, I'm going to go to Mr. Prophet, and then Dave, we're going to get you to do some reading.
Yeah, I like this quite a bit, Stephen. It reminds me of people that have eaten the wrong type of mushroom and all of the digestive ails that become of it if you don't die from it first. I also agree with the other comment about it being kind of a, a precursor to doing something that you don't want to do. And I always found that I fretted around about that quite a bit. And then once I got through with it and went up and did it, I always felt a lot better. So I really like this poem, Stephen. I think it was well written and you put a lot of thought into it. So well done.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that comment, Dave. And Stephen, did you want to stick with us or did you want to say your farewells?
No, I'm going to have to get going. All the words are getting blurry. That means I better hit the hay. So I appreciate everybody.
Yep. Thanks again, Stephen, and thanks for reading Kay's poems.
Have a nice Stephen.
Good night.
Okey-dokey. Dave, we are in your hands.
You said me?
I did.
Oh, okay. Let me refresh my page because I don't see it up there right now. But there it is. Okay.
Four or five.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it. All right.
Got it? Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, here we go. I thought this was a beautiful, a cute picture. So I just went ahead and wrote about it. And I incorporated some of the other prompts into this poem just for the storyline. It's called Dream Horsey. That's my little girl in the corral of the north. Her friend, a magical horse. She's asleep on his back. As I approach him, he looks at me, snorts, and moves his ears. She wakes up. Hi, Daddy. Hi, sweetheart. Sleeping, huh? Oh, no, we was dreaming together, she giggles. You were dreaming with the horse? No, Daddy, he's not a horse. He's the Dream Horsey. That's what you call him? Well, of course I do. You have dreams with him? Mm-hmm. Him and me, we dream together. About what, Chelsea? Well, people and folks I never met, like the lady with the red hair. She lives in the woods, talks to an owl, or the white raven that talks to Horsey, or the girl that sleeps on the big grizzly bear in the woods. He's draped over a log there. My white-haired school teacher that stands in front of her mirrors of yesterday, worries about what she'll look like tomorrow. We dream about a witch on a black horse and a black wolf familiar. She scares me, Daddy. Horsey gets between her and me and paws at the ground. I don't think he likes her. Her hat made from old newspaper. The witch of old news is what I call her. More giggles from my darling daughter. There's one more I dream about. What's that, darling? Well, a red-headed woman dressed in black. She plays with dragons. I can never see her face. They're red and blue, just like the ones on your back, Daddy. What does that mean? The woman that plays with dragons is your mother, Chelsea. She loves you so much. She told me this because I dream of her, too. The dragons will take us to her one day. Can Dream Horsey come, too, Daddy? God would not leave him behind, honey. And the quote that I chose for this is, we use tinted thoughts to paint a montage of mementos. That's the end of the poem.
That's very nice. That's very nice, Dave. I did read the author's note too, which is very cute. no, it is. I have to say, there's having a daughter is a wonderful thing. I have not had a conversation with her about a dream horsey, although when she was young enough, I'm sure she probably did. Because it's really sweet. It's just really cute. And it's beautifully. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Too sweet. Sweet. Did you want to say a few words?
Yes. I love the storytelling aspect of it. I love the idea of having a dream horsey because I spent a lot of time with horses that we weren't dreaming about them. We were cleaning up after them. So I'm hoping dream horses aren't as nasty. I like the way, as always, you have such a creative mind. And I love the way you wrote to the quote and to, you know, using your imagination as always, David. And I love the fact that I know who the dragons represent. And so I know who the mother is. So I like that aspect, too. So you bring it all together once again, David. Always do.
Oh, thank you,
David.
Sweet. Thank you.
Okie doke. Thank you, sweet. And I now have a new caller. Hello, 907. How are you?
Hi, AP. It's Liquid Damage.
Hi. Liquid Damage, how are you?
I'm good. Good to be here.
Excellent. Good to have you on board. Now, did you want to say a few words up front about, did you hear Dave's poem, Liquid Damage, or not?
I did hear a little bit of it, but I was a little distracted. But I just can't, I want to wonder where David gets his imagination, because it went overboard with this one. It was cute, and I like the part about the tiny horse, the little pony, very cute, but I'd have to read it again, and I can't get it to come up on my computer, so I'll have to read it some other time, David.
Thank you.
And Wayne, did you want to say a few words about Dave's poem?
Yeah, I didn't get to see it either, but I was just not listening to him read it. He's a wonderful read. He had a wonderful reaction between a father and a child. And, you know, the girls go from painted horses to roaring Corvettes so fast, you better enjoy those wonderful days while you have them, because they grow up fast. Lots of loving emotion in this poem, and I wish I could have seen the poem and read along with you, but you did a good job. Love it.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks, and thanks, Wayne. Now, Dave, I think you have to disappear, because you were on a pretty tight time frame. So, or are you able to hang around for a little bit?
Well, I don't know. I think I'm just going to get off. My foot feels okay until I set up in it for a while, and then I have to prop it back up again. But it's getting a lot better than it was, so hopefully I'll be 100%.
Hopefully you'll be back up. Yeah, absolutely.
Huh?
And I relate to that, because I've got a pretty great big operation on my heel, so I've got a vacuum dressing on it. So I know all about having not so much fun with the feast.
Boy, I guess we're both in the same boat, huh?
We are, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But all the best with it, Dave. Thanks for calling back in, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thank you.
Bye, David.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Talk soon.
Sweetie. Okay, thanks. Bye.
So, I thought, Sweet, do you have a poem for this week?
That's Sweet.
Is Sweet there, or has she got home?
I'm here. I am here. I do have a poem. Have not put my picture. I don't have my picture on it, but I can put it up there. I have not attached my picture.
Okay. Well, bear with me for one second, because while you're doing that, I wanted to say a few words about Alf Collier, because all the quotes this week are from Alf, who is, without a shadow of a doubt, one of my favourite writers on all poetry. He a very generous writer too. I was only on all poetry for about a year and was still very much learning what I was doing. And he agreed to do a poem with myself and JR at the time. And I remember being a little bit starstruck, actually, that he would agree to do that, because the two of those folk were just ridiculously good at what they did and had hundreds of gold medals and, you know, 200 front pages each. And I was just learning my craft. But they were very generous. And I still remember that from, like, 7 years ago. The thing about Alf is that he reads a lot on the site, he comments on the site a lot, and he genuinely is learning and improving his craft all the time. And But Al certainly, you know, there's not a lot of Australians on the site, but, you know, Al for me is sort of in that sort of top five of Australians on all poetry and does a brilliant job. So, and he hasn't been well recently. And that's why he hasn't been writing much, but he's a brilliant writer. And the way he writes is, I find just inspiring. So get better soon, Al. We hope to see you around the site again shortly. Okay. Having said that, I am now going to go to the videotape and with a little bit of luck.
I did put it on.
I will.
I can put it on the board now.
Oh, can you put it? Okay, cool. Thank you.
I will do that. All right.
And
three, three.
We will. All yours. What?
Oh, my. All right.
Wait a minute. I can't find it.
That's because I just put it up there, so you got to refresh.
Oh.
You got to refresh.
I got it.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay, this is Roses and Sad Songs. She lay in a bed of roses and not a thorn pricks her skin. A sweet aroma wastes above as bypassers stop and grin. Crusty lady sarcasm pours down and gel slips while she chokes on nightshade crawling down her throat and eating all her sins. Listen to the melodies of Prince Charming's foolish yawn, crooning love's authentic song. I'm sorry. Crooning love's authentic sound, a throat burning while white smoky lies, melting in the monochrome colors of a drunken piano haze, played in chords of a bluesy Billie Holiday sad melodic song. The pretty mirror on the wall shows the world a tarnished crown. Beads of crimson red drip from ivory toes, from glass slippered shards that ripped open delicate skins as a dying shroud pretending to spin and dance in a world God mad had her wrong. End of poem. Mm.
Very intriguing. I was looking through the list, Sweet, while you were reading the poem. I know that's a bad thing to do, but I was. And I looked under H for Happy Birthday, and I looked under B for Happy Birthday, and then I went to Gress because he did a Happy Birthday, and I can't find anything. So, Happy Birthday to you. Happy Birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear sweet pea. Happy birthday to you. Okay, now we've got that. I
you stole
am
my
go.
Thunder, AP.
Thank you. Anyway, I wrote to the quote, we use tinted thoughts to paint a montage of mementos.
There you go. There you go. So, Liquid Damage, what did you think?
I thought this was absolutely precious. It was sad, you know, in a way, and dark, which was funny because it was at the same time beautiful and precious, and it had a lot of great imagery in there. I love the last verse, the pretty mirror on the wall shows the world a tarnished crown. Beads of crimson red drip from ivory toes, from glass slipper shards that ripped open delicate skins as the dying shroud, pretending to spin and dance in a world gone mad had her wrong. That is a brilliant, brilliant verse, and it really finishes off this poem in a fantastic way. I think you wrote this extremely well, Sweet, and I really loved it. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Lovely. Well done. Wayne, did you want to say a few words about sweet's piece.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. Happy birthday, sweet. I agree with the pretty
Thank
beer
you.
On the wall. I agree the pretty beer on the wall shows the world in tarnished, as a tarnished crown. The reflections are skewed, and that's how I see the world should be. I think we should spin and dance in a world gone mad, had it wrong. Wonderful insight and a touch of warm sadness in this poem that makes me want to hold you tight and smile. Love you, sweet.
Oh, thank you, darling.
There you go.
Happy birthday, sweet.
Thank you.
And I actually have read the poem now, sweet. I know that's strange, but I have. And it's got a great sort of delicacy to it. And Linda's right, it's got some darkness to it too. It sort of feels, do you remember way back in the Victorian age, there were these things called an epergne? And they were little hanging baskets and glass, yeah? And they served no purpose except to sort of hang there, yeah? They were there to be pretty, yeah? And I was sort of thinking it's sort of like the epergne broke, you know? It didn't have a lot of purpose in the first place, but now it's broken and it's actually more dangerous than it was functional in the first place. And the sort of words took me there, and I have no idea why, but they did.
Interesting. Yeah. But, you know, that's funny because I would think very closely to this poem, that's how Victorian women felt. They were there to be pretty, but God forbid if they broke. They were more dangerous than anything.
Yes, indeed. So there you go. Anyway, that was where my head was. Now, turning to the next poem, and I was probably... now, Wayne, you've got a SoundCloud, haven't you, today?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Sure. Well, we might get that SoundCloud up. Let me go to the video tape and grab the words so that we can read along. And then I will do the SoundCloud appropriately, yeah?
Okay.
And hello.
This is all SoundCloud poem.
I'll just see if, just let me check the, yes. Hello, 937. Hi, Silk. How are you?
Hey, Sweetie. Everybody.
Good to see you. And hear you.
Hello, Sweetie.
I will be
happy
to
birthday,
you in one Sweetie. Tick. Thank you very much. Well done. I am going to go and play Wayne's piece. And are you on a time crunch there, Silk?
No, I can hang out for about an hour.
Ha! Beautiful. I love that. Okay, righto. Here we go. Here's Wayne with his SoundCloud coming down.
This is called Red Stripe Toboggan. She leads the child, her hand needs mitten. Trying to stay warm, holding her kitten. Went for a sleigh ride on a cold winter day. She's not sure how her horse got away. Sitting there cold, left outside all alone. Would not have left if trouble were known. Icicles formed, snow coming down. Cracking branches, the only sound. Frostbitten words, hanging tempered icicles of regret. Little girl cold, but worried about her pet. Day turned dark for a seven-year-old. She never thought about it getting so cold. Lanterns on sled began to go dim. Chances of survival was looking slim. She felt she was frozen, even her hair. Heard a noise, a large grizzly bear. The trip was over. No one knew where she went. Even the dogs didn't pick up her scent. In early spring, her uncle went jogging. That's when he found a red striped toboggan. And
Red strut. Frostbite occurs in tempered icicles of regret. In other words, they shouldn't have gone on that toboggan, and they certainly probably shouldn't have gone jogging with it, is what you say, Blaine. I'm thinking. Anyway, liquid damage. Did you want to say a few words about Wayne's pet?
Wayne, you did it perfect this time. I mean, it was so serious and so well written, and then boom, you get us with that one line. Even the dogs didn't pick up her scent. I mean, it was fabulous. I thought in the beginning it was a metaphor for putting the cart before the horse, but then I thought, no, knowing Wayne, this is exactly what it's supposed to say. There's no metaphor in it. It's just a lovely poem about a little girl lost in her toboggan. And yeah, you did it wonderfully. Thank you for sharing it, Wayne.
Thank you. I don't know what happened to your cat.
Yeah, good question. We don't worry about those things. We're only worried about the girl. Oh, and the toboggan, by the way. Silk, did you want to say a few words about Wayne's toboggan?
Yeah, I thought this poem had a lot of strong emotion in it. I thought you really captured the feeling of regret and loss very well. I'm assuming the girl didn't make it, and you kind of could feel that rising tension throughout the poem as you read too. And your music went very well with your reading, and I just really enjoyed it. I mean, very emotional piece that made you feel pretty deeply. Yeah, great work.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Good work, Wayne.
Yeah,
thank
happy
you.
New Year.
And thank you, Silk. And I now have another caller. Hello, 603.
Hello.
Hello. Who am I speaking with?
Sky.
Hey, Sky. Sky, Sky, Sky.
Hello, Sky. Hey,
Sky. How you going, Sky? Scott, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. I'm sorry, did you say how are you?
Good. I'm very, very
Hi,
well.
Scott.
How are you?
It's good. I'm sorry, you're breaking up a bit. Thank you. I'm great. How are you guys doing?
No. All good. That's sweet. Did you want to say some words about Wayne's poem, please?
Yeah, I thought this was a sad poem, but it was so read so well. And writtenly, it was emotionally, it was so emotionally well done. Oh, my God. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was beautiful. Man, that poor kid. You did good on this one, Wayne. It definitely pulled all the emotion through.
Thank you, there, sweet. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Now, Sky, are you on a time crunch tonight?
I do not have too much time. I called in late, yes.
Okay.
But, I mean, I don't know what the order is. But, yeah.
No. Yeah, I will grab your palm now, Scott. So bear with me. Deb's much better at this than me. So, you know, I just sort of, I'm the hired help. So just bear with me. Spare music in the background. And it should be up now.
Thank you. All right, this is, this was who's the quote. I just want to make sure I put it in here. That's not the right one. Okay, I'm just going to read it because now I don't know where it is. Oh, and mine. Okay. Which was, we use tinted thoughts to paint a montage of mementos. And, of course, that's Alice Collier. Brilliant quote.
Yes.
This is To Boris by Guy Darcoque. Chester boughs resound like yellow jasper light, set in loose wood maples and violet stones of polar white. You run the season set in all the use of winter and all that warmth may still. And
very, very lovely. Scarlet? Very, very lovely. It's great, great image, but tissue. I love the Chester Bows resound like yellow jasper light. It's very lovely. Just sings off the page. It's beautiful. I am going to go to Liquid Damage. Liquid Damage, what do you think?
I thought this was genuinely loving and sweet. It had wonderful imagery to it. And for a short brevity, it really was a powerful, emotional bang. The last two lines, and all the youth of winter and all that warms me still, I mean, it just kind of rounds up the whole poem. I'm assuming you're talking about your dog and what a loving memory you have of him. And that always gets me memories of pets. It's kind of a twinge in my heart. But nice poem. I really loved it. Thanks, Skye.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And I was going to go to Wayne. Wayne, did you want to say a few words about Skye's pet?
I think it's a nice little brevity. It's got great rhyme and a cute little story, and it makes one feel good inside. It's just a nice little cute little poem. Good job, Bruce, Skye.
Thank you.
And I was finishing by going to Silk. Silk, what did you think of Skye's piece?
Yeah, I thought it was a very lovely and beautiful little brevity here. I thought the image is great, but I think your poem actually stood out more than the image, which I said in the comment there that I think the image ended up complimenting your poem instead of the other way around. And I love that you run as evening sets. That the moss grows upon the sill, and all the youth of winter, and all that warms me still. It's just a lovely little sentiment.
Thank you, sir. Great comment. And thank you to Skye for calling in. It's appreciated. So you can certainly hang out.
I usually try to call at 10 and stay the hour, but I couldn't today. Is Sweet here? Did I hear Sweet?
Yes, she is.
Happy birthday, and I'm sorry for yelling at you. For some reason, I thought you were in Boston. I was like, you're
not
okay.
In Boston. If I was in Boston, I would come see you, I promise.
Okay, all right. I hope you guys have a wonderful night, and I got you guys bookmarked to read you this week. Thank you guys so much. Bye.
Thanks. Okie dokie. Liquid Damage, I have your poem up on the board. The Minstrel's Song.
I'll have to refresh that.
You will.
Uh-oh. Oh, there it is.
What's happened?
It's up there. I got it. I love this picture. When I saw it, I said, what can I do with this? So this is called The Minstrel's Song. By Liquid Damage. The minstrel did a tap, tap, tap with bow on his violin, letting all the people know that a show was about to begin. And if you happen to... Oh, wait. I think something's missing in there.
Oh,
there is something missing. Oh, well. And if you happen to miss a note, please don't be too alarmed. I've brought a plethora to listen to, so many of you might get lost. Hold on to your seats and listen up. Your minds are about to get tossed. At first, his bow started slowly and babied the strings as he went. It sounded like angels were singing, so somebody tossed him 2 cents. At that, the minstrel smiled. He had a lesson for him. Don't be so quick to be roguish. You might look like an ass in the end. With that, he quickened the tempo, playing each note like a pro. The hues of his music were lovely, pushing his bow to and fro. He scurried around all the people, making them smile at his prance. Then some of the people got busy. They got up and started to dance. The music got louder and louder, and he played pizzicato with ease. His fingers moved like lightning. The people looked like they were pleased. The notes flew into the evening. They sounded like birds on the wing. and the minstrel, and then the minstrel did something. He rallied the people to sing. Like wind swirling in a tornado, the notes flew around and around. Faster and faster he played on. His sweat flew all over the crowd. The people's faces got happy the more and more that he played. The music got shot through them like bullets, so all of the people, they yayed. The minstrel then played the sweet spot. The notes got softer to hear. He played like he was an angel. The people got up and they cheered. When the music was over, he had just one thing left to do. He said with a smile on his face, "I played this one just for you." End poem.
There, Mr. Bojangles.
And so the tune was, Linda. It was a bit like, you know, that great sort of banjo number, sort of dueling banjos, where they start off with a few little notes each and go backwards and forwards, and then they get ridiculously complicated.
It
sort of had that feel to a musician who knew what they were doing and decided to sort of tease people before getting into doing it properly, which was fun. And it's the first time that I can ever recall the word pizzicato in a poem, which is something. I like it when I read a word for the first time, and it's the first time I can ever remember seeing that in a poem. I am going to go to Sweet. Sweet, what did you think of the damages post?
Well, first off, to me, when you write like this, you're magic. When you write from your heart, you just are, I don't know, there's something about it. It's like you're a queen of rhyme, and you always sing in rhyme. And you know, I always hear it, and you just have this way of your cadence, and your voice is just, it's like a perpetual grin when you're talking like this, and when you're reading like this, and I just find it magical. It'd be like sitting in front of you and listening to a magical genie or something, and just this perfect little grin on your face as you read. And I love listening to you read, and I love you listen, you know, just your poetry in general. I think it's just, you're very gifted, and it's an honor to listen to you.
Well, thank you, sweet. And happy birthday again.
Oh, thank you.
I've got to say happy birthday a lot of times. Wayne, what did you think of Liquid Damages post?
Well, I said you have a wonderful cadence in this poem. Your wonderful cadence in this poem. It's like a story by song. Perfectly balanced and wonderful storyline. He gave a great performance to the one he loved, while the crowd cheered to his wonder. Love can make you perform at a top level. This is a lovely job, and you make us all glad to be alive. Great job, Wayne.
Thank you, Wayne.
Great comment, Wayne. Welcome. Thank you. And I am going to go to Silk to round off the comments.
Excuse me. And yeah, I agree with you here. The pizzicato right here, that word. I haven't seen that either. I had to look it up, and I always love that. Me also, I love the your rhyming here, especially you had some that are a little unconventional, which I never thought of. When I said the people's faces are happy, the more and more that he played, the music shot through them like bullets, so all of the people, they yayed. And I would have never thought about rhyming yayed with played, but it worked perfectly, I thought, there. And also, I liked the bit of humor up here where you're talking about, where was that at? Where was it? You're saying people being roguish and don't be an ass. I can't find the exact... Oh, here we go. So don't be so quick to be roguish. You might look like an ass in the end. And then also, I really liked what you said up here about the brought the Thora to listen to, then your minds are about to get tossed. I haven't really heard someone's mind getting blown kind of put quite that way before, and I really enjoyed it.
Right.
Thank you, Sil. Comment. And thank you, liquid damage. And I have put up
thanks,
the poem from Phil. Thank you. Well done. I have put up the piece by Phil the Poet, and I'm going to play his SoundCloud now.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Still Life of a Kiwi Fruit. Preparing the easel and the darkened, morbid colors, I arranged the fruit and flowers the way she liked them, with the slice of their emerald innards facing outwards, ebony seeds pricking like tiny darts at my tear-stained face. I sliced the brown, hairy skin, and in doing so, I cut my thumb. The scent of a kiwi fruit, mingled with the taste of rusted iron, fills the moist air of the darkened tomb of an attic, where the rot and the charcoal reign like a sepulchre kingdom. My imagination transforms the dull room of worthless art into a place radiant with the morning light of a new day, where the air is filled with the fragrance of bluebells. Laughter of love seeps into the grains of the timber work. There she sits, ready to be captured for eternity. A ripe apple, innocence locked up in mortal flesh. She is like a statue of ivory marble with a scent of kiwi fruit, with a luminous, glowing emerald eyes, sparkling like absinthe. Since her beauty faded, so did the life of this artist. Incarcerated in this room of damning reminders of yesterday, green eyes penetrate the poor man's haunted soul, that in his madness he cuts the innocent fruit to pieces. End poem.
And his quote, for the record, was, "We used tinted thoughts to paint a montage of mementos." And he has, he's really, I loved his tone in that film. I know you read often and you send in SoundClouds, but there was something really sort of really intense about how you read that, and I was quite impressed. Wayne, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, when I first read this poem, I didn't get all the emotion in it that I got after he read it. When he read it, he put so much emotion in this poem. It's amazing. It's twice the poem I thought it was. It's a very good poem. He did a good job with it as usual, but he's got a lot of emotion in this poem, and it sounded good. I liked it a lot.
He did. Yep, no, absolutely agreed. Liquid Damage, what did you think of that piece by Phil?
Yeah, this piece was exceptionally interesting. Phil writing about kiwi and having it being arranged as a part of a central picture, you know, that he's going to paint, and then he cuts it and he tastes it, and it's just interesting how he's morphed from painting it to eating it. And there's a lot of this that I know I'm not getting, because I'm sure that the kiwi is a metaphor for something.
Yes.
But it's beautiful as always. Phil always writes beautiful. And the way he talks about the kiwi is kind of like a sexy, wild way. You know, he's explaining the kiwi, and that's really interesting. But I liked it. I thought it was a cool poem. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, Liquid Damage. And Sweet, did you want to say a few words?
I can't tell you how spectacular his metaphor here is. Absolutely genius. he kind of blows me away with his brilliance on this. And just FYI, it was front page pick 28 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Before it was even read live. So congrats to you on that. So it is dark and cunning, and it's a dark, deep dive into your neurosis kind of thing to me. And I love the quote. I picked it myself, and I'm kind of glad he took the dark angle with it too. So, Phil, I really, really enjoyed that. Yeah.
Thank you, Sweet. Thank you. Great comment.
Be another read.
Thank you. Thank you, as always, Phil. Now, we've got a piece by Heavenly Angel who's been up on the board and I believe is almost falling asleep. And so I don't have a SoundCloud Heavenly, so I'm assuming that that means I should read it. So this is A World of Our Own by Heavenly Angel, and it was done to the piece, quote, "We used tinted thoughts to paint a montage of mementos." And it goes a little bit like this. "We use tinted thoughts to paint a montage of mementos, whether it be in one poem or 20. I, the clover to your crimson, you, the crimson to my clover. I inhale your essence as the fresh aroma of a rain-scented sky. Our exchange of vows spoken and recited touching as a morning breeze, soft and warm. It's like I can literally feel life flowing around me. Wishing to have that one moment in time when my soul would find its mate. I looked towards constellations dotting licorice skies, and one lone star fell down, touching me with its essence and energy. Commitment, communication and truth, reaching inner depths with softness, a quiet power emanating from empty's heart. We created a beautiful world of our own. No time nor place can raise. And I could not ask for more." Silence is always good.
Wow. Yeah, that's
Heavenly
amazing.
Angel, that is a beautiful poem. That is a beautiful poem. Beautifully written, very touching, very heartfelt, beautiful poem. And so I'm going to go to the king of romance first, Silk, to get a comment.
I don't know about that at all. This is beautiful. So full of beauty. I loved her reference to the old song Crimson and Clover, which is definitely a classic. And just brings up so many good feelings right off the bat there. And I've noticed Heavenly Angel, I think, actually would be more the king or queen of romance here, because she writes so many. I think almost every piece I've ever read of hers has been just full of beauty and romanticism of some sort of another. And this is no exception. I love the four stanza in particular. "Wishing to have that one moment in time when my soul would find its mate. I looked towards constellations, dotting licorice skies, and one lone star fell down, touching me with its essence and energy." It's just lovely all the way through.
Yeah, great. Agreed, too. Yeah, very much so. And Liquid Damage, what did you think?
I thought this was beautiful. It was just full of purity, and her poetic language in this is just spectacularly beautiful. I like the way she phrases her words. The flow of this was beautiful, and the imagery was really brilliant, and I like that I could see what she was writing, and that's a sign of a good poem is when its imagery is so bright and brilliant that it's like photographs as you read, and that's what I liked about this poem. Great job, Heavenly Angel.
Great comment. Thank you. Thank you, Liquid Damage. And Wayne, What did you think of this piece?
Yes, I mean, this poem shows a perfect harmony between two loving people, and the way she wrote this, and she brings the two people into a single entity with their soul, with being a soulmate. It's romantic and pure. Crimson Clover was sung by Tommy James and Shondell, the number one hit in January 1971 for our car property. Might be 1970, but I believe it was 71. Great song, great time, and great poem. Enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, Wayne. And thank you for your piece, Heavenly Angel. It fitted in beautifully with the show, and I'm sorry it got a little bit later, but you at least were still on the board while it happened. So thank you again.
Hey, AP.
Hey, yes, sweet.
I've got to run, but I would love to talk about my show Thursday night first, if that's okay.
Please do. Yeah. Of course you can. Yes.
Thursday night. Discussions back on Thursday. Woohoo! Back home. Is going to be comedy and tragedy. anything you would like to write about any of the sketches or comics from the 1970 Saturday Night Live crew. So that is what Thursday night is about. We're going to be doing comics all this month, and so I've got some quotes and some various sketch ideas from the 1970 Saturday Night Live groups. So John Belushi, Gilda Radner, Chevy Chase, Lord Steve Martin, Dan Aykroyd. So all of them are up on the board. So come on by. We'll be discussing that group of comics and or the tragedy of those comics. So come on by. I'd love to talk to everybody about it. So 10 o'clock is the standard time.
Say it again.
Somebody here is too sweet.
All right, guys. Thanks. I've had a wonderful...
Wow.
Hold on.
What happened? Oh, no, Eddie. Are you kidding me? It's your birthday again? Oh, snap. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Okay, so there it is. Now, I got to do my thing. You do your thing. All right, I'll talk to you later on. Get up on out of here. Have some cake or something like that.
Thanks, Melvin.
Well, according to the videotape, we have about half an hour to go, so I'm just going to see if there is anything on the last little bit of this recording before I step in and say some finishing words, if there's nothing more on this tape. So, but you heard from a whole heap of poets there, from Sweet Pea, from Wayne, from Dave Prophet, from Deb, and Phil the Poet, a whole heap of poets that had done pieces to Alf's words and had honoured him with their writing. So, and it would appear that that might be the end of what Blog Talk recorded. Deb?
Yeah, I don't see anything else, and I was just looking at the list, and one of the ones that we have we can't use because I don't have the recording any longer, but it looks to me, if I'm not mistaken, actually there's two that need recordings, but I did just put the one that you wrote to Alf's words on the board. If you want to read that one before you go into the closing mode, I put it up on the chat wall. The other two, like I said, they were recorded, and I don't have the recordings any longer.
We've got I can certainly read that poem that I did for Alf, and I think we did all but a couple, and we've got a poem by
Titus and Gerald, but both of them prefer recordings, and I don't have them any longer.
Yeah.
So,
no, that's okay. No, that's okay. So we've got my poem from that episode, which I'll do. Then we'll do the poem that Hatter sent to us for this episode, then I'll do mine, then we'll finish with Alf. Okay? So we'll finish with Alf's words. I think that's a good thing to do.
That sounds like a plan. And are we going to tell everyone that why we've been using he and she at various times during this program?
Yeah, look, yeah, I guess we should. Alf decided to use a pseudonym on the site, and a number of female writers have decided over time to use a male pseudonym because they found that allowed them to go about their work without being subject of any issues. And it's so sad that that's the case, but there's a number of poets who are in that bucket. And so Alf's actual name was Maureen, and she had a very long and successful life. She lived till the age of 93 and had five children, and was doing the poetry in the background as something to just enjoy. And she shared, I know, with her grandkids. And that's why there's a bit of sort of pronoun misplacement here and there with he, she, and that, and it, and everything else. But
I think it was romantic that she used the word, her name is Alf, which was what she called her husband. So
yeah,
that was a sweet nod to.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
That passed, many, many years before she did, unfortunately. So anyway, I'm going to rate it now more 500 than solitaire. And that was my poem for the show. And it goes a little bit like this. Once so many years passed, I recognised myself in the mirror. I cannot bear to see the reflected version that says I've become. Surface delicacies held by society and once presented by this wearer sit either lost, discarded, or replaced by an artificial sum. And that's difficult to accept, that so many friends already departed, walking next to one pallid, with a raven and halberd at hand's ease. For those shadows we know lead into a staircase started, the echoes of my footsteps play solitaire on the sigh of a breeze. Yet the lure of children and the simplest of pleasures, of connection and joy as friends writing pages diverse. Mangoes, pineapple and cherries with laughter are treasures, and they tempt me to keep fighting. So further words form to find this in poem. So I am now going to read the poem by Hatter that he gave us for this particular event. And this is "So All Will Know We Were Here." And it goes a little bit like this. The way it works doubles the lines we follow as the ink is coloured by the sky, reaching to use the moments we share gathering trinkets to display on the journey where we can only try. Taken back to see the cracks we draw so others will understand the plans, pre-written as the end begins to draw so near, and the magic stops, the quest is sought, so all we know, we were here. With all the troubles locked in bubbles, the winds will blow anew. Let me see if it's truly me, or tell me true if it's you. I will miss from this day on. End poem. And finally, before we use the words of Alf to see us out, this is Past Struggles Lies Grace. And it goes a little bit like this. Past the dry bushes that struggle within, below the fine ochre soil of rocks aged, this continent fierce with fauna so driven captures where once dream times raged. For here ancient cultures moved at ease off fires, drought and the fiercest storm, and welcomed so many to these degrees, hoists raised, quarter acre blocks swarm. He held a great compact of opportunity of education and sport with achievement. Sacrifice so their children gained a degree while they minded grandkids as years went. And those families provided the bedrock, just as the red sands they had once seen. A whole generation, their endeavour lock, the gains off once travellers left dream. But this country gave their identity, and they in turn built upon it buildings tall.
I still don't know what
they fall as clouds of a promontory. Their
like,
memories sparkling spray to its core.
You see what I mean?
We remember their influence at length, proudly rich the shadows their deeds rise. Above a glorious skies promise of strength, we divine from rocks, the water, their grace, and poem. Okie doke. So finally, because we should always finish with the words of the poet that we have been honouring and we were fortunate enough to honour in this episode. This is March 24th from Alf. This is Whispering Goodbye, and it goes a little bit like this. Terminal echoes from walls hitherto decorated in hope. Three syllables threshing the chaff of thoughts and suffocating tomorrows with the willful force of a rampant tornado. Followed by the numbing days that simply swallows all nuance of emotion in a preponderance of calm. Days roll like an endless tide, new weakness bleeds internal strength of mind, siphons diminishing energies and internal battles rage. But the parade of my past comforts and entertains in darkening shades of greatness. End poem. So, with all of that, we say a very fond farewell to Alf. We wish all the best to his extended family and to all of the poets who looked up to Alf on the site. We are going to finish with the song that he chose for his for her funeral. For Maureen's funeral, and that was The Seekers, The Carnival Is Over. Beautiful, beautiful song. And we'll finish with that and say my thanks to Deb, to everybody who participated in the show for Alf earlier this year. It was, we know, appreciated. And we will see you for a more normal episode in the next day or so. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. And this is The Seekers. Thanks, Deb. bye-bye, Alf, with all our love and care, and we'll see you again in the next day or so on A Team of Voices. Bye, everybody.
Nice.